Question is, do you possess your possessions, or do your possessions possess you? When our possessions possess us, we try to do everything we can to protect it. We have alarms on our houses so nobody can come in there without us knowing it. We have alarms on our cars, some of us do, because we don't want nobody to steal it. We protect our possessions, and that's okay. But the problem is when our possessions possess us. The problem is when we try to protect us without allowing God to protect our possessions and us. Because, see, if you say He can do it, then, wait a minute, let me. Can he do it? He can do it, then trust him with it. But so often we trust ourselves with it. We try to be slick with the stock market. Don't know how to play the stock market. We just think, I'm going to pick this one. This one here looks like a good one. I ain't prayed to God yet, man. You know, get a financial advisor. You don't know what you're doing. And then pray to the Lord. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you how to get it all done. It's His resources. There's a nation called Israel. They were possessed by their possessions and their procrastination, believe it or not. They were in need because their possessions weren't protected by God. Now, here's the dilemma. Israel had been in captivity, and they were in Babylon. And Cyrus, he overthrew them. And God moved on this pagan man in such a way that he decided, I'm going to let Israel go back to their homeland. So he freed them from the Babylonians, because they overthrew them. Same with Cyrus. And so he told Israel, says, I want y'all to go back to your homeland. So some of them dispersed back, about 50,000, they started back, and others came later. But the first 50,000 that started back, they took the wood that God allowed that God allowed Cyrus to give them, because God was moving in this man's life. I mean, how else would a pagan let free labor go? It had to be God. So they left with a whole bunch of wood and materials because Solomon's temple had been torn down. It was 70 years since they had torn the thing down. And so now God is touching this man named Cyrus and saying, look, here's all the material y'all need. Get out of here. Go back and build the foundation of your temple and build it on up. So they had enough to build the foundation, and that's what they did. They built the foundation, but they also had some more. But they decided not to use the wood for the temple. They decided to use the wood to build their own house. So they had these fine homes they done built. Like if you're riding out there in Udawar. You ride in certain sections, man, you know, you go, whoa, they live in large, man. I wonder how much it took to build that thing. And then God's house, in comparison, is filled with weeds. The foundation is filled with weeds and other growth all around it. And they are sitting, living large in their palaces, so to speak. And so God decided to get their attention. He had waited 15 years for them to rebuild the temple. They started on the foundation. So he said, okay, I'm going to give y'all a little time. I'm going to see if y'all come around. And they didn't. So God started doing some stuff to their possessions, and they still didn't catch it. So he sent Haggai, the prophet. Now, the name Haggai means festive or festival. So he shows up on the scene during the time when Israel should be celebrating in the temple, because this is the first of the month, and this particular time of the year, they were supposed to be celebrating and worshiping God in the temple. But there's no temple for them to worship and celebrate God's blessings. So he sends Haggai, whose name means festive and festival. I thought that was interesting. Don't know where this man came from. He doesn't have any father or mother or anything that they put in the scriptures. He just shows up as a person God sent to rebuke Israel for being possessed by their possessions. And so he starts in and he rebukes them. And I came up with this first little sticky note. When we use God's stuff on our lusts, our return won't be much because God is working against us. You say, whoa, it gets you to thinking, doesn't it? If there's any lack in your life, it could be because there's something that God told you to do and you didn't do it. And he's been waiting. He gives us all grace. He gives us time to think about it and think about it. And he starts moving stuff out your life, start causing lack in your life. You used to have a lot of this. Now you have a little of that. You used to be able to go and fill up your tank, man. It only cost you about $25-$30. Now it's costing you $90 to $100, depending on what size gas guzzler you got. And I'm so thankful now that I downsize ahead of time. It don't cost me that much, but it cost me a pretty little penny. It cost me $50 to put in 2/3. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute, this is a small tank. And I'm thinking, but I got money to fill it up. There's some people that don't have money to fill it up. And they're trying to figure out how did I get to this point where I'm in need and I'm not meeting my needs? I'm going to tell you, this story in Haggai is for today. Before I get into it, let me just review. Last week, we saw how the Lord of hosts helped Hannah, who asked him for a son because she couldn't have any children. And God blessed her to have not only a son that she dedicated to the Lord, whose name was Samuel, but he also gave her 3 more sons after that, as well as 2 daughters. And we also saw how David came up against the giant because all the people that were there of Israel, they were afraid, and Saul didn't have any guts to go fight him, and he's the king. And so David shows up. He's a shepherd boy, and he says, hey, look, I'll fight against him. He says, besides, he's not fighting against me. He learned that he was fighting against the Lord of hosts. That's who Goliath was fighting against, and that's who David told him. He says, look, you think you're fighting against me, but you're really fighting against the Lord of hosts. But before David fought him, Saul tried to give him his armor. And so I left you with 3 things last week, I wanted you to remember. And first was, our best belongs to the Lord, because Hannah gave her only son at the time, Samuel, her very best to the Lord. Then God, he gave her 3 more sons and 2 daughters because of that. Then our battles belong to the Lord, because that's what we discovered when David fought against Goliath. David said, you think you're coming up against me, you uncircumcised Philistine? You're coming up against the Lord of hosts. And then Saul wanted David to use his weapons, but we discovered that David didn't want to use his weapons because he said, I haven't tested these weapons. And so we only are supposed to use trusted weapons. Some people try to use other people's verses of scripture. Oh, this one really did the job for me. And if God didn't tell you to use their scripture, don't use nobody else's. God's got a bunch of scriptures you can use. Don't limit him. I mean, if he needs to give you a scripture, he can. So trust the weapons that God gives you to fight with. And so, as I said, the Lord of hosts is what we're studying. And first of all, Lord is Yahweh. It means the self-existent God who has great power over all that he has created and over all that's in heaven that he's created. Host is a military term, which means that it's connected with a person that fights battles. So as our Lord of hosts, the Lord is powerful, and the host is the one that fights our battles. So collectively, together, you don't have anything to worry about. The Lord is in charge of all creation, and he's also over all of the angels in heaven. If he ever needs to send one your way, he will. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says that the ministering angels were guarding us until the day that we would say yes to Jesus. Think about that. God has secret service agents all around us. Those that have been marked out for salvation. And they follow us around all of our lives until we get to the point when we hear the real gospel. And then we say yes to him. But along the way, some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. Now, you may be in here today, and some people have watered in your life. Some people have planted in your life. And maybe something that I may say may cause you to give your life to Christ. I don't take the credit. It all belongs to God, because we're all working together for his kingdom and for his glory. The word Lord was also used to describe a king. That's why the psalmist wrote, "Who is this King of glory?" And then he says, "The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." The Lord of hosts fights for us because the battle is the Lord's. But when we misuse God's resources, the battle is yours, not the Lord's. If you're into some problems, and you're saying, how am I going to get out of it? Think back. If you haven't gotten out of it yet, what have you done with God's resources? If you've misused it, see, you are just stewards over whatever God gives you. You just stewards over that car. If somebody needs a ride to church, you ought to be welcome. You ought to be the first. You need a ride? Come on. Now, look, because of COVID, I want you to sit in the back with a mask. Try to make yourself about 6 feet away from me. Now, look, of course I'm kidding, but I'm not in some cases. Look, if you got a car and you know someone needs to ride, hey, carpool. Bring them to church. God didn't give you that car just so you can ride in it. He gave you that car so you can use it to help other folks. If you're only helping yourself, you're misusing God's resources. And you're going to need him one day. And he's going to wake you up and say, you know what? The battle is yours. I'm not going to help you out of this one. So instead of him fighting for us, he fights against us when we are full of pride, but he gives grace to those who would humble themselves. In Haggai, we'll see God is the Lord of the heavens, he's the Lord over the harvest, and he's also the Lord over their history. And I'm going to show you how God's been Lord over our lives, over our history, and how he's been Lord over our harvest, which is why we've been able to stay open and afloat financially. And he's been in charge of the heavens. That's why the heavens have been opening up, blessing us and blessing those who have been a part of us and who have been helping us. God controlled all three of those against his people to get them to repent. And Haggai will show them their problem, and then he gives them a solution to their problem if they would only listen. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts." It's used a lot in Haggai in these two chapters, Lord of hosts. "The people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses with my wood while this house of mine lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord of hosts. Now, he's trying to get their attention. And the word consider your ways means examine what's been happening to you and give serious thought to changing your ways. They were procrastinating and they were misappropriating all of God's resources. Some of the older men who remembered the temple the way it used to be, they were saying, well, you know, the foundation is kind of small, and, you know, this is kind of small in comparison to the temple that Solomon built, so why even bother? So they discouraged the workers from working. And then some of the people around the area, they were also opposing them, and they wouldn't give them some of the things. They were charging them before the kings of the land, and they were making false accusations against them. And so they were putting out, you know, little whisper campaigns against them. And so they got kind of discouraged. But that's no excuse to stop doing what God told you to do. People are going to discourage you if you're doing God's business. That's what they're there for. That's what the devil uses them for. And so the folks, the older folks who had come along with them, they said, well, this foundation pales in comparison to the one that we had when Solomon built. But it's not the size of the house or the foundation. It's what goes on inside the house. And if the foundation is sure, if it's built with the gold and the silver and all that stuff, it's going to stand. But if you build it with wood, hay, and straw, that's procrastination, and that's misusing God's resources, and it's not going to stand. And that's true for our own temples. Don't be so concerned, you know, about this place here at the expense of your own body. I mean, think about, are you nourishing your temple? Are you feeding your temple with what you need to be fed with? Are you feeding your temple with the Word of God? Are you listening to stuff that encourages you? Are you building yourself up in the most holy faith? If you're not, you're neglecting your temple. So because they hadn't rebuilt the temple, they never had enough to meet their needs. Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. You have sown much, but harvest little. Why? Because I'm the Lord of the harvest. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You drink a whole fifth and still don't have a buzz. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put in a purse with holes. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own little mansion. And my house lies in ruins. Therefore, because of you, don't blame me, it's because of you the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. It's because of you. And then, because of you, I called a drought on the land. Because I'm the Lord of the harvest, and I'm Lord of the heavens, and I'm the Lord of all. But you're treating me worse than you would a politician. And I'm Lord over the droughts, I'm Lord on the mountains, and I'm Lord over the grain, I'm Lord over the new wine, and I'm Lord over the oil, and you are lacking because I've caused it to be lacking. I'm the one over the ground and the produce. I'm the one over the men who work for you, over the cattle and over all that you labor with your hands. I'm in charge of all this stuff, and I have allowed you to be in need. I smote you, and even the work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. I mean, somebody would have wised up after this, wouldn't you think? You think, man, it was tough. I got 3 jobs. I got a full-time job and 2 part-time jobs, and I'm still not making ends meet. I fill up my tank, and I go 2 blocks, and it seems like it's on empty. Why is all this happening? I'm riding down the street, and something starts clicking and clacking, and I have to take it to the shop, and the guy says, oh, this is going to cost you some money. I ain't got the money. Then I pull out my American Depress card, and they tell me, you don't have nothing left. Wait a minute. The government can do it. The government can borrow from tomorrow, from 20 years from now, from 50 years from now. The government can write new money up and cause inflation. Why can't I get some more money? I'll just pay the high interest. No, I don't trust you. It ought to be a time in our lives when God starts moving stuff out your life and you say, wait a minute, I used to have a lot, now I got a little. How did this all happen? God says, consider your ways. The Lord of hosts, who lords over the heavens, used the heavens against them. The Lord of hosts, who lords over the harvest, used the soil against them, against their crop, against their cattle, and against all the workers. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 17. Then Zerubbabel, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent him. They obeyed the voice of the Lord, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. He stirred up their spirits, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Something happened. Haggai spoke again, and they obeyed. You know what the word obeyed means? It means they listened and they heard with an ear to obey. See, a lot of y'all hear the word of God, and y'all hear it, it goes in one ear, out the other. Or if it goes in, y'all filter it through your filter so that when it comes in, it really has been filtered by you, so it doesn't do any good. Because you filter it with your own logic. So, well, you know, the Bible don't really mean that. If the Bible says it, it means it. Well, you know, they wrote it way back then. And? How many of y'all read history books? When y'all were in school, how many of y'all read those books? Y'all had to read some books, didn't you? What, did y'all ever question the people who wrote those books? Y'all read those books, didn't you? Y'all had to write a paper on those books, didn't you? Did you question the people who wrote the book? Why do you question the author of the Bible? I don't understand it. You question the Bible because you know it's true. And you want to have an excuse to do what you want to do. And God is saying, I am the Lord of hosts. I'm Lord over your life. I'm Lord over everything. If you don't know that by now, then you're in sad trouble. Who are you listening to? What are you filtering as you hear? We all have these filtering things. What's hemorrhaging? What resources are hemorrhaging in your life? Where are you lacking where you used to have a lot? Consider your ways. Before you blame God, consider your ways. Have you let the less important be more important than God? Consider your ways. And what area have you been procrastinating? Consider your ways. What gift from God have you been misappropriating? Consider your ways. Do you have more month than money? Consider your ways. If you're suffering lack, look back, find out where you went off track, then consider your ways and come back to God and do what he told you to do. Haggai chapter 1, verse 12. The Spirit came over those folks, and they repented. Because of the COVID, many churches across the country that were forced to close their doors have reopened. But to smaller congregations, and like many of them, when we reopened on Father's Day 2020, I think we may have had maybe 10 people who showed up, maybe a little bit more. Only a handful attended. But the Bible says, because I don't get discouraged by numbers, and I don't count the nickels or noses. People say, well, how many people you got? How many people you running? I don't know. I don't run them. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. I don't count how many people we have, because David made that mistake. He made the mistake of counting, having a census, and God says, he sent somebody to him. He says, why are we counting the people? And the Lord told me to tell you, choose your punishment. I'm not counting people. Have y'all in here? That's good. Somebody else one day came up to me and said, Pastor, you know how many people came in this week? I said, I don't want to know. He said, why not? I said, because I don't need to know. I said, and don't tell me. I said, because I don't want to know how many people came in. It's not somebody. I'm not concerned about numbers. I'm concerned about your spiritual life. If I've got two people that come and hear me and listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God does something to you, then I'm happy about that. Because there are a lot of people that fill up a lot of places and they leave out the same way they came in. Losses are bad. Ain't heard no Word of God. But they went out shouting, ah! I'm concerned about who left, but I'm more concerned about who's left. As I was studying Haggai this week, I was encouraged when I saw how God was Lord over their history. And he showed me, he says, I've been Lord over your history as well at New Covenant. Many of you who have returned, you remember what our attendance used to be like. Kind of like those senior elders in Israel. I remember what Solomon's temple used to be like, and you know, the people did it now pale in comparison. Well, that ain't your business. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. I'm going to tell you why we are where we are, but I'm not going to tell you yet, because I'm going to hold that. Here's what God is saying to us in Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now, take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, and all the people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord. And work, and I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also, and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. He's talking to them, but he's talking to us. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So God encouraged me with this week as I was studying it. He's saying, son, stay the course. Don't look to your left or to the right. Don't look at the naysayers. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't count the people. Count on me. I'm the one who built this place. I'm the one that'll keep this place. You can't keep it and they can't keep it. Why did he tell me this? Because he wanted me to know he's Lord of the heavens. He wanted me to know he's Lord of the harvest. He wanted me to know that he's Lord of our history. Now, he's Lord of the heavens, and he's shaking the heavens to take care of our church's finances and needs. That's why James says every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's also the Lord of the harvest, and he's the one who called for a drought. You know, I know, you know, y'all blame the pandemic on something, Wuhan lab, and y'all blamed it on all this. But you know who's in control of everything? Have you ever considered that the Lord called for a pandemic? I'm just asking you, have you considered that? Well, why would God do that? I don't know. But I know one thing, some of y'all gotten a little closer to God. A lot of y'all are taking better care of your health than you did. Why? Because he's the Lord of the harvest. And since he's Lord of the harvest, he's also the one who causes us to prosper. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and a hope, says, get this, the Lord of hosts. So who is in charge of our prospering? The Lord of hosts. Who can open up the heavens? The Lord of hosts. Who can cause a harvest? The Lord of hosts can do that. And he's also the Lord of our history. Everything is under God's control. This past week, NATO had to call an emergency meeting this week to discuss the Ukraine situation. And I thought about that. Did you know that the Trinity has never had to convene an emergency meeting for anything that's happening in the universe and on the earth? You know why? Because everything is under their control. Nothing caught them by surprise. There's nobody out there fighting that they need to convene a meeting about. All they got to do is say, peace be still. Huh? And if somebody is crazy, he'll send them a donkey to talk to them. Open your mouth. They'll give them vocal cords. Look, hey, look. I thought about this. I've never heard God wringing in his hands. I've never seen God sweating nothing. In fact, Jesus said, why are you worried about what you have to drink and eat and wear? Why do you worry about that? All the unsaved folks worry about that. Why are you worried about it? That's not your worry. Your Heavenly Father takes care of the birds and all those other folks. Do you not think your Heavenly Father is going to take care of you? Are you not more valuable than they are? Well, of course you are. All things are under his control. Those folks who saw our former glory, God is saying to us, take courage, be strong, because he's going to do something new. Right now, as a church, we're in the rebuilding and the rebranding stages. That's why you see that little construction back there. We're going to have some more cameras that we can control. Right now, we had someone that was controlling our cameras, and they put their cameras up, and we wanted certain things, and they weren't doing it the way we wanted to do it. And so God blessed us with resources to buy our own camera, to do it in-house, and to control our own message. We don't have to rely on somebody else. I liken what stages that we're going through, you know, I liken it to this. Think about this. Have you ever seen a rose bush pruned? When you prune a rose bush, man, it looks like you done killed the bush. But see, the bush belongs to the rose of Sharon, the bright morning star. And so we are his church. He's been pruning us like a rose bush, but in its season, the bush is going to come back with bloom, and look, and it's going to bloom and blossom more beautiful than it was in the former state. That's what God is trying to say to us. So he's saying, take courage, be strong, and be patient, because the former glory is going to pale in comparison to the latter that's coming up. God's got some good coming, and all you got to do is just continue to have faith. Let me tell you what God's been doing with this little bitty old church here in Chattanooga. The last week, we had 1,600 people to visit our social pages in 1 week. So out of that 1 week, we had 1,000 folks to click on to check us out. And who knows what they're going to do with that information in the future? Only God knows. If the Lord builds the house, we won't have to labor in vain. Just let the Lord build the house. And if he needs to use you, let him continue to use you. Here's what else God is applying to us. Because the Lord of hosts has been shaking the heavens, and because you've been so faithful with your time and your talents and your treasures, we were able to retire our debt last year in September because of you listening to God and because of God shaking the heavens. Because of that, we were able to receive the blessings when God opened up the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing onto us. We have not operated in the red. Hear me. We have never operated in the red during this whole pandemic. Other churches closed down. Other churches couldn't hire, couldn't keep their staff. We kept everybody and kept paying everybody because I had faith to believe that God is our provider, and wherever he guides, he will provide. And because I had faith to believe the impossible happened. And not only did we continue to pay our staff, we continued to pay our bills. Y'all didn't walk in here with the lights out, did you? Y'all didn't walk in here and wait a minute, this wintertime, why don't they have any heat? No, we still have everything paid. You know why? Because of the Lord of hosts, who is the one, and because of your prayers and your faithfulness to us, God has been using you mightily. And I want to tell you, we have been using the resources for God's glory. We didn't lay off anybody. And get this, we continue to support our missionaries. Lloyd and Ruth Milligan, they go to Papua New Guinea. We still support them, even though they transferred down to North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever. We still support them during the pandemic when they really needed us. We started supporting them again because we support people, you know, for a certain period, But they had gone past their period some 2 years, but we continued to pay them. But when they left, we thought they would pick up some more, when they went to the new church, but they didn't. And we found out they needed something. And so we started paying them again. Why? Because God said so. And not only are we taking care of them, we're taking care of Steve Gustafson and Elder Steve and his wife, Melissa. They'll be coming back soon. And there are missionaries in Macedonia, Italy. There's a little new covenant in Italy. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? They're talking to people over there about Jesus. And Steve knows the language. He and Melissa they went through a course to understand Italian, and they know it. They can speak the language, and they can speak to the people. But not only have we been able to do that, but because of the heavens opening up, we're able to support Rotary International, who provides water for those in Africa who don't have clean drinking water, and for other smaller nations who need drinking water because there's a water desert that they live in, and they don't know how to get the water out of the ground. And so we've been able to support that effort. And also the eradication of polio. I'm telling y'all what we're doing. And because we're doing stuff outside of New Covenant, God is blessing us because we're reaching outside these four walls. But let me come back home. Nobody who has asked us for help out of this church has been turned down during the pandemic. Everybody has had their needs met, and we've increased the amount to give them because of the economy being so astronomical. We have increased it from the average of $800 to $1,000 a year. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We take care of you too. And we're taking care of other people outside of this place. How is that possible? It's possible because the God who sees saw our needs and showed us that he was our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. It's possible because we believe nothing is impossible with God. It's possible because I believe that those who call on the Lord in time of trouble will be delivered out of their situation when they trust in the Lord of hosts to fight their battles. The government shutting down the houses of worship, but not the liquor stores, showed me a lot. I knew then it was a spiritual battle. They don't mind those other kind of spirits. They just don't like our spirit. They don't mind you going in and getting drunk off of that vodka and stuff and Tennessee whiskey. They just didn't want you to come in here and get drunk off the Holy Spirit. Oh, but we're back. We're open for business. And we're taking care of God's business and God's people. Why? Because the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord of hosts. He's been fighting our battles for us. So when we faced a pandemic, the giant pandemic, I felt like David facing Goliath. Everybody around me was afraid of the Goliath called the pandemic, because when they saw the pandemic, like the folks who saw Goliath, they said, look at how much bigger he is than we are. Oh, but when David saw Goliath, he said, look how much smaller he is than God is. Other people thought Goliath is too big to hit, but David was thinking he's not too big for God to miss. I don't care who you're thinking about believing in, if it's not the Lord of hosts, you're going to lose this battle. The battle is the Lord's. And God is great and greatly to be praised. The word Lord of hosts, or the phrase Lord of hosts, speaks of the greatness of God. How big is your God? Martin Luther wrote about God's greatness in one of his famous hymns. A mighty fortress is our God. I love these lyrics. Let me read it to you. That we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. The Lord of hosts is His name. From age to age the same. And He must win the battle. He wrote that. We have a mighty fortress called God. God's work has never been stopped because of the lack of finances. God's work has been stopped because of the lack of faith. And some people are not doing what they're supposed to do because they have a lack of faith. But I'm here to tell you today, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, if you will not doubt. The same God who took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed 5,000 is the same God that can come into your life and take what's little and make a lot out of it. He's the Lord of hosts, God Almighty. He's the all-sufficient one who has been protecting us and who has been providing for us and who has been keeping His promise to us. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's been able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. If I could tell you all the things. That God has been doing. You would think I'd be bragging. But I'd be bragging on God. God has done some things for this church that you don't even know. People come up to me saying, I want to give your church a blessing. I said, what? He says, yeah, who did I make it out to? I said, New Covenant. He said, you want me to make it out to you? I said, no, that's against the law. Make it out to the church. Don't send it to me. Folks, God has been blessing us. I wish I could tell y'all, but I just can't tell it all. But know this. God has been taking care of us. We have never had to beg or borrow or steal because God has been taking care of us. We give Him our best. We tithe off of what's been given to us to help other people in benevolence. That's why God continues to help us. We use that to help other people in doing mission work. That's why God blesses us. The day we stop doing all those things, the day we'll just become a social club and no good for God. I wish I could tell it all. But my God is big. How big is your God? My God is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think according to the power that works within us. How big is your God? Is He big enough to fight your battles? If not, you're serving the wrong God. Is He big enough to shake the heavens and pour out a blessing into you? If not, your God is not big enough. Is He big enough to shake the heavens and the earth? Is He big enough to give you the silver and the gold? Is He big enough to supply all of your needs? If not, your God is not big enough, which means your faith is too small because it's not compared to the God you serve. But my faith is big. And I trust Him with the big stuff and the little stuff. And when you start trusting Him with the little stuff, then all the big stuff just become little stuff to a big God.